call of Jeremiah. So let's hear it again from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I anointed you to be a prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak, and I'm too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am too young.' You must go to everyone that I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and I will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and he touched my mouth and he said to me, "I have put words into your mouth. See, today I anoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." And our second reading is from Psalm 71, verses 1 to 6. "In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me out of my mother's womb, and I will ever praise you." This is the word of the Lord.
We'll just give Lynn a bit of time to get back to the organ or the piano before we sing, "Master, speak, your servant heareth." When I was 11 years old, a long time ago, I was given a small fish tank, home to three goldfish. I squinted at their overactive pursed lips as they swam up and down the glass container. Looking back, I now realise that these fragile, goggle-eyed swimmers did not have the most adventurous life at all. Up and down, they shimmied continuously. The highlight of their day occurred when giant human fingers sprinkled fish food into the water. I wonder if they tired of their humdrum existence without even the sparkling variety of the vast ocean floor to enjoy. If they were jolted out of their safety zone to immense waters beyond their imagining, would the fish, frightened of the dangers ahead, continue to swim their short, regular laps of the confined glass that they left behind? Or would they bravely venture into unknown depths? What have the dilemmas of my goldfish got to do with God's call to young Jeremiah to be a prophet? It seems that our wild God delights in stretching us beyond what we believe is possible. God's command was given to this boy at the tender age of only 13. Here was a God with great expectations of his life. And is it any wonder that poor Jeremiah balked? Jeremiah was pulled out of his comfortable life as a member of a priestly family to preach to the peoples of the southern kingdom of Judea. Little did he realize how difficult this calling was going to be, especially to a hostile, defiant audience. Even though he was 13, this teenager knew his limitations. He could not believe that God could use him. He felt inferior. And in fact, Jeremiah was barely out of short pants. His youth was against him, he thought, as he stood starstruck towards the vast ocean of his life. Yet God reassures Jeremiah that his Creator knows him intimately, even from the womb. God says to Jeremiah, and likewise to you and to me, I know you more deeply than you know yourself. I can see in you what you cannot see in yourself at this moment. I gazed fondly at you forming as an embryo, and I realized your special potential. Talk about a glowing reference. Let's fast forward in a time machine from this somewhat challenging conversation to Jeremiah's future life. His later story portrays him as a courageous, persistent prophet who often had to endure physical suffering for faithfulness to God's call. He also suffered inner doubts and conflicts, as his own words reveal. They reveal a strong conflict between Jeremiah's natural inclinations and his deep sense of vocation that God wanted him to do. Jeremiah was by nature sensitive, introspective, and perhaps even very shy. Is that one of you today? He is often called the weeping prophet because of his anguish over the waywardness of his fellow Judeans who wandered away from God's purpose. Modern folk would actually probably describe Jeremiah as a sad sack. He certainly wasn't the life of the party. He was denied the ordinary joys and sorrows of his contemporaries, and he did not marry. He could say, I sat alone, albeit with God's hand upon him. Jeremiah had periods of despondency when he expressed the wish that he had never been born. And there are times that he wanted to run away and live alone in the desert. Talk about a coward. But isn't it funny how God uses cowards to do his work? He was very honest with God, to the point of calling him a deceitful brook, or waters that fail. And yet in times of exaltation, he could say to God, "Your words came to me as a joy and a delight in my heart." And he could speak of the Lord as a dread warrior fighting by his side. I don't know about you, but I find it very encouraging that God uses moody, broken people like Jeremiah, like you and me, in our strengths and our weaknesses to bring God's timely messages to an unwilling audience. You see, when you feel threatened with insurmountable barriers, and I know that life often throws us there, God sees possibility. When you question who me and then scuttle into a dark corner like a frightened cockroach, God says, "I will be right there beside you." I know from experience that God, in his mysterious ways, uses people of different ages, shapes, sizes, colours, and abilities to achieve his purposes. When I was training for the ordained ministry 30 or so years ago, I remember struggling with the idea that I could be a conventional minister. Can you imagine me in a black gown flying in the breeze behind me and a clerical collar? I thought I had to run around at the speed of a Melbourne Cup winner to do God's work. And it took me a couple of years to realise that I, as a wheelie, did not have to conform to a stylized image of anyone. Rather, God uses the person and the slower pace at which I move to be placed in unique circumstances. And it is right there in those circumstances that I trust to reflect God's light and love where I am. If you look at the Australian of the Year nominees this year, you will discover a wide variety of people. See the medical student Daniel Naur attending to the needs of a homeless man with seizures at a railway station. He senses the potential for medical services on wheels to travel the streets. As 2022's Young Australian of the Year, 26-year-old Dr. Now is now recognised as founder of Streetside Medics, and he's only young, like Jeremiah. Remember too the grandmother who looked after her grandchild full time and then planned a support network for grandparents who take on family responsibilities for young ones. She didn't think her age was a problem. And there was a retired police officer who tutors disadvantaged young ones as they go for their driving tests. I believe that such visionary people do not see age as a barrier to helping. These Australians are used by God to birth his dreams on earth. If you read Jeremiah's story, he was not always successful, whatever that means, in encouraging people to turn back to God and to live his dream of justice and integrity. The people often ignored his warnings, and the southern kingdom was eventually changed forever because many of its inhabitants were thrust into captivity by Babylonian invaders. Yet, I want to encourage you that Jeremiah's ministry, although not conventionally successful, was not futile. One of his timeless messages was that God, despite their disobedience, had not forgotten his people. God was and is continually throwing lifelines, wanting to renew connection with his beloved followers. And Jeremiah reminds them again that God has not forgotten them, especially when they felt abandoned. To emphasize one of the key messages of Jeremiah's later ministry, I share with you simple yet humble words spoken many years ago by my dad at a farewell before his retirement from ministry. A man of few words, my father simply announced to those gathered, "God does not call us to be successful, but to be faithful. God does not call us to be successful, but be faithful." Surely that message is part of Jeremiah's legacy of resilience to us. We need to be faithful to our God-given tasks and leave the results in God's hands. Resilience is vital because being God's messenger is jolly hard work. The young Jeremiah sensed this and shied away from the task. But where is the good news in this tentative start? It is there in the steadfast love of God that surrounds us from our mother's womb to the tomb and beyond. It is a love that calls us to do things that we feel inadequate to do. It is a love that gives us perseverance in the time of trial. It is a love that enables us to speak words of truth to a questioning and occasional hostile world. Sometimes I admit that I am sad that the church has lost touch with many people we mix with on the days between Monday and Saturday. Yet God's love does not give up. It is a love that knows us, warts and all, and yet nudges us to be where we need to be for ministry. Hear the good news. Yes, we may hear the voice of God calling us to places where we're afraid to go. People of God, take courage in the sustaining presence of God. We are here right now to find strength, faith, and hope, to lean on the everlasting arms of God. This is our prayer in the words of our psalmist today. O God, you are our rock and our fortress. In you we find strength. Amen.